You know, I have a very special reason for wanting everything online by tomorrow. And I wanted you three to be the first to share it.
Three?
Oh, Ebony already knows. She's consented to marry me.
Marry? You can't!
To be my third wife.
Welcome to Series 4, Episode 33 of Conversation on the Eagle Mountain, a podcast about the tribe. I'm your host, Lance, and joining the podcast panel today is Liz.
Hello.
And Tamsin.
Hello.
With episode notes done by Matt and myself. So Series 4, Episode 33, the screenplay was done by Anthony Reed. It was directed by Murray Keane. And the episode synopsis was read out by Liz.
Ram and Ebony prepare to tie the knot, but not everyone is happy, while Pride's views find him in hot water.
So after Ram announces his engagement to Ebony, Jay confronts her, demanding to know why she's doing it.
I'm marrying Ram, that's why.
But why? Why, Ebony?
I'm looking out for myself because nobody else is going to.
I would.
Oh, the big talk!
You think Ram will? You think he really cares for you?
At least I know where I stand with Ram.
Leaving Jay of the opinion that she's choosing power over love. So yeah, what do you make of the continued lack of communication here between Jay and Ebony?
I don't care. It's contrived, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, the same.
But it's nothing new, and it's not specific to this season or the writing. It is just it's something you will see in most romances. Like, that's just a shame, but that's the truth. You will see this in tons of romances. The misunderstanding because people refuse to just communicate. And so it's not a surprise that this lasts as long as it does because she refuses to just tell him what she's upset about so that he can clarify it. You know, I mean, because that's the rule. If she actually said out loud, I'm upset with you and I don't want to be with you and I don't trust you because I saw your fantasy, then he would have the chance to clarify and we don't have a story. And so I just don't care because whenever I see that kind of contrivance in any misunderstanding.
Yeah, it's such a turn off. I completely agree with you. And also, I don't think it's very in fitting with their characters, maybe a little bit with his. But it's interesting to note that I would say since about season 2, Ebony has always been fairly straight when it comes to her interests. And if she's interested in you or if she wants to call something out, she will do that. And this just feels so contrived.
Yeah. But there was something I did find interesting about this outside of the ridiculousness of their storyline that I don't care about. The thing that I actually do like is this gives you some... Now, people would watch this and see Jay's reaction to Ebony choosing Ram and how hurt and how butthurt he is over it and assume that means, see, this is evidence he cares about her. But for me, I think they really need to study this reaction and go back to how he reacted to when it was his dreams and possibly his safety on the line. We've been here before when Ebony was the one telling him, we could do this. It's dangerous. Yes. If Ram found out about us, it could be dangerous because by then Ram had already shown his interest in Ebony. And Jay wasn't willing to risk himself or his dreams for what he and Ebony had just found, which fair enough. But look at his reaction to the idea that she's not willing to risk her safety, her dreams, her future on them. See how high and mighty and angry he gets at her? Like, how dare she choose to, like, her own self-interest over us? And remember, it's not like this is months later into their relationship, years later, where the love has been proved. This is only a week later. So it's still not even love. You know what I mean? It's not any more love than it was when he had to make the choice. But he cannot, he is furious at her. And this is a pattern you're going to see with Jay going forth. He doesn't just do it to Ebony, but he does it to Trudy and he'll do it to Amber. This idea that his partner, they need to make all the sacrifices. They need to put everything on the line to prove how much they care about him, how much they want to be with him. He is not the one who will ever have to make those sacrifices. And I just found that interesting, listening to him sitting there and being like, oh, so you've chosen power over us, over our love. Oh, it's love now? That's what it is, Jay? Because a week ago, when Ebony was begging you to choose the two of you over your dreams and your safety, mm-hmm. it was not a risk you were worth, you thought was worth it. Which, again, fair, but you don't have the right to be angry at her. If you think, because he thinks that's the reason. He thinks the reason is because she's like, I'm looking out for myself. I got you. No one else is going to. So he assumes that she is choosing her safety and security over them. And he cannot believe she has the audacity to do that. That's that narcissism in him.
I'd also add into the mix there, is there something, because he has that line later on when he's talking to Celine, and he says that he's on the out, that Ram doesn't really need him anymore. So is he also prepared to only leave now that his best interests are no longer being served?
Exactly. Because, I mean, he wasn't willing to even be with Ebony until he realized the truth about what Ram was doing. And then it was like, oh, I want to take him down and I need Ebony. But she was leaving. And so he was like, hey, babe, we could take him out, you and I, together. Suddenly it was a you and I. And I don't think he would have offered a relationship if Ebony wasn't leaving in that moment. If Ebony wasn't like, I'm blowing town. It's not safe for me here anymore. I don't think he would have been like, well, we could be together. He was desperate. He needed her to stay because he needed her to achieve what he wants done now. And so, yeah, of course, he's really, really angry at her for choosing her safety, her priorities over him, despite the fact he had no problem doing it to her a week ago.
Jay's just basically irredeemable. And so is this relationship, if you can even call it that.
Yeah, he's the worst. But yeah, I just found that really interesting. I was like, you know, because again, people see Jay and they see how hurt he is by Ebony's choice, and they think that's evidence of how much he cares about her. And I always want to be like, no, 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 it's not. It's not evidence of that at all.
It's so disappointing because this could have been such an interesting relationship. But at every turn, the writers have downgraded it and made it into this. I mean, it's just gross. Let's be honest. It is gross.
And yeah, just keep an eye out. You'll notice he will continue doing this to her throughout the entire relationship. Until he's gotten everything he wanted out of it. And then instead of breaking up with her, he will demonize her, push her away. And so he can come out like, she dumped me. Mm. You know, I wasn't the one who broke her heart. She broke mine. I just didn't support her emotionally. I left her hanging while she was having an emotional breakdown. I didn't listen to her. I went back on all my promises, just on and on. And it's just like, this guy, he's something.
And like you say, he doesn't just do that to her. He does it to Trudy, to Amber.
Yep.
This is a repeat pattern. And in a way, I mean, he also does it to Ved.
Yep. He has these, it's rules for thee, not for, you know, me.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, he gets real butthurt and self-righteous if you do things that he himself also does. But it's different when he does it, you know? Yeah. And
This whole scenario just annoys me. I just wish Ebony had her own impetus to decide this, to make this decision. I wish she had chosen power herself rather than it be this whole fake scenario that pushed her into it. Because this whole scenario, I just don't like it.
I mean, I guess the thing is she would never, I think the interesting thing about Ebony is when she's in a relationship, she is all in, especially if she thinks the other person loves her as much as she loves them. And it's interesting that had he reciprocated and given her what she needed, and she hadn't been, you know, Amber hadn't been so foremost in her mind all the time, and she hadn't allowed her own insecurities to twist things, then it's really interesting. Whereas we know that power is her default if she can't get love. That's Ebony. If she can't get love, she'll go for power. But with Jay, she thought she was being offered love. But yeah, it's interesting when you say that it just could have been better written than this poorly contrived lack of communication. Ebony is not this stupid. She's not this stupid. She's actually really intelligent. And we have seen her play lots of different games throughout the four series that we've already had with her character. And she does whatever she can do to come out on top. And yeah, it's just so annoying that this is the thing that leads her to make the decision to marry Ram. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only thing that stuck out to me. The scene itself is, yeah, it's badly done because it's so contrived. And the only reason why we're not going to resolution is because then we wouldn't have a conflict if they just spoke to each other, you know? And it does seem a little out of place for Ebony, who's far more forthright when she's been offended. When you have done her dirty, she doesn't have a problem laying your crimes at your feet and telling you exactly what you did to piss her off or upset her or whatever it is. And so, yeah, it does feel a little like, oh, this is just being dragged out so that we can have this drama where she doesn't just tell him what the problem is, because if she did, the conflict would be over. And so instead, let's drag it out for as long as friggin' possible.
It sort of reminds me a bit of when Amber came back and you had the situation with Bray when they first met and they were kind of talking around why she'd actually disappeared. And then It all came out with that weak storyline with Ebony and the photo of the baby.
Yep. They deliberately did the same thing there too.
Yeah.
Amber just be like, you don't know, you, and it does, and it didn't matter to me if you don't know why I'm mad. Like, you know, so they could drag out the conflict for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And then finally she has no choice but to tell him what she's so mad about, what he did to her, you know? And of course it's as stupid as we all imagined it would be. And that's, it's like, well, no wonder you didn't want to admit what you were mad about, because it sounds dumb.
It's definitely one of my most hated TV tropes. I really hate it when characters just won't talk to each other, even though there's a billion opportunities to talk and resolve things. But no, we have to stretch out as much as possible to keep the drama going.
And everyone's intellect has to be dialed down.
Oh, yeah.
Because suddenly they don't understand what's going on around them.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm just like, okay, whatever. I'm not where I am in my grief journey for this season. I'm not angry anymore. I'm also not in denial anymore. I'm not depressed. I think I might be at bargaining. So for me, now I'm just like, as long as an episode doesn't make me homicidal, it's fine. I'm like, okay, it's cool. You know, I don't want to shoot babies. So we're good.
Okay, then. You're on. Good. Who'd have thought it? Me, on television. Only thing is, what am I going to say?
Whatever Ram tells you to.
No, you don't understand. For our slot, it's our news.
You think your newscast can be anything like Ellie's amulet? Telling it like it is? Forget it.
Later, Ram asks Celine to conduct the marriage ceremony, making her read a pre-written script about the Techno's benevolence, to which Pride reacts with disgust. So yeah, panel, what do you make of Pride's assessment and Celine's situation?
I hate Pride so much. I hate the fact that he was actually right.
But he's right.
I hate that he was right. I mean, he was right. Everything he said did come to pass, and it did make the most logical sense from everything that we have seen the Technos do so far. They will always turn something to their advantage, and it will always be to benefit and glorify themselves. Now, I hate the fact that he was right. Now, I'm also going to say something I hated in the scene was when Celine was sat down reading it out, I felt like she was more upset on the fact that what Pride would say when she got home more than actually what Ram had said to her in that office. I don't know if anybody else got that vibe, but I was just watching it. I was thinking, girl, you're thinking about all the things that he's going to say to you when you get home. Or was that just me?
No, I feel like she did feel it in that scene. She felt it as she was reading out, like, exactly how it was coming across. And she was in the exact scene, exact same situation that Pride warned her. So, yeah, I imagine that was in the forefront of her mind as she was reading it out.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
I agree. I mean, he's right, but he's doesn't have to be such a butthole about it. You know, it's like, you're right that that's what's going to happen, but there are ways you could be more supportive in helping your partner navigate the fact that this is what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You could be supportive of what she's trying to attempt to do. Instead, you are just being a butthole, and it just feels unnecessary that you're being one. So yeah, I you could definitely feel that. Cause again, I agree. She is just going to be a mouthpiece. How does she believe that it's going to be any different when she has the chance to speak that Ram isn't going to control what's coming out of her mouth? They saw it with their own eyes, happened to somebody that they knew. Usually nobody could have told Amber what to say, how to say it.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, and so, yeah, that, but again, he didn't have to be such a jerk about it, you know?
This also feels, though, I mean, you've raised the specter of Amber, so let's talk about it. This feels like the sort of situation we see Amber get into later on. And this doesn't feel like a storyline. Again, any of this feel unique to Celine. Even the situation when she went in there and she got blindsided by Ram. So in the previous episode we saw last week, Ram was blindsided by Celine, but now he knows exactly what he wants from her and she's going to give it to him. And I think for me, you could easily have put Amber in the place of Celine and the scene would have been the same.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just hung up on the fact that because she knows firsthand what the control the Tenos have over your image and what you can do, the fact that she thought that this was going to be the mouthpiece of the city, I don't get like why she would think that at all.
I think we all have experiences when we're feeling incredibly gung-ho that we're going to make a change, that we can be incredibly naive about that. Again, it doesn't excuse Pride being such a jerk to her about it, but especially since he knows what she's trying to do. There's a way to talk to this woman you claim to love, and it's like, this is how you treat people you love? No wonder Amber didn't want to be with you, dude. Like, seriously, if this is how you think communicating with the person you claim to love is going to get you anywhere, it's really disgusting how he talks to Celine.
Yeah. And he went in there and only his opinion's the correct one. And he doesn't want to hear anybody else's point of view. They're all children. Silly children that don't know what they're talking about.
To be fair, Celine isn't listening to his point of view either.
Yeah, but we've seen him be so domineering. That's the thing. I mean, he is not just like this because, I mean, Celine is like this because she's got a taste of power, right? And this is the first taste of power that Celine has ever really had. But Pride has kind of rained on everybody's parade the entire time about everything.
And again, he hasn't actually offered any real solutions to the alternative.
No.
It's very Lex in season one when you know, Amber, Bray, any of them were like, okay, so why don't we try this to solve our problems? Lex would be the first to say, that's not going to work. That's stupid. And it's like, okay, so what's the better idea? Contribute, like be constructive here. And that's how Pride is. Pride, he will naysay anything he doesn't agree with, but he doesn't actually offer anything as an alternative. Okay, so what do we do instead? If our plan is dumb and isn't going to work, Pride, what is your plan other than just keep beating our head against a wall and saying no? Because that's not a plan, Pride. We need a productive plan. He doesn't have one.
He reminds me of those sort of, and I'm doing sort of air quotes here, those friends that you have when you tell them that you're going to do something and they're negative from the outset, but they don't come up with any sort of suggestions of what you could do. You know what I mean? They're of just course. Needlessly negative.
Yep.
I agree, but he's right.
Yeah, he's right. But again, it's not helpful.
Huh?
It's not helpful. And again, I can't respect the way he's talking to the woman he loves. Even if you're right and your lover is like going down the path you don't think they should, this isn't how you communicate with them.
Oh yeah, I know, but it's just, I'm just trying to defend Pride a bit here. I don't think Celine's as open to communicating as well at this moment in time.
No, but maybe that...
I don't blame her.
Yeah, because of his combative style of talking to her and the way that he's always, since they got into this relationship, he has basically made her feel as if not only is she a junior partner in their relationship, but she's a junior partner to his pretend relationship with Amber. He doesn't view her the way he views Amber. He doesn't take into consideration her opinions unless maybe they're childcare based, but even then, he still thinks he's better at parenting than she is. You can see why she just doesn't want to hear it again.
Well, I mean, yeah, this relationship is dud. I know that. They have no compatibility, really, but...
No, none at all. So no, nobody is saying that Pride is wrong. He is right. He has completely got the gist of everything that's going on. But like, there's a better way to say it. And also doing it in front of Dee and Patch, where it's just really embarrassing to have your partner come in, talk to you like that in front of people who are essentially friends, but also in this situation right now, your employees.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I get it why she doesn't always respond to him, because he starts every conversation like an argument.
Yeah.
You know, he is right. And she's being incredibly naive if she thinks that she can best Ram when, you know, Ebony and Amber couldn't. You know, it's like, no offense, Celine, but those two couldn't. You really need to be more shrewd about your hopes and how you think you're going to do this. I mean, I'm all on board with you challenging Ram, but if you think it's going to be as simple as, oh, I just have to demand he give me a voice and he's going to give it to me, girl, you haven't been paying attention to anything. Your own boyfriend won't give you a voice. What makes you think Ram will? Come on, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's a lesson she has to learn, because she was never really good at being someone who demanded to be heard. And so she's found this courage, she's found this strength in herself. So she thinks, if I just demand it, I'll get it. And that would be frustrating to watch if you're just like, really? You think that's going to work? But again, like, her crime is that she's being naive. I feel like Pride is way worse. Like, dude, I can understand you being frustrated with her, but you're supposed to love her. You know what I mean? And I don't see any of that. And I don't see how you're helping anybody. I don't see how you're helping the situation.
And just bad vibes. Pride could be a slur.
Sorry. Oh no. Oh my gosh.
You know, it's just going to get worse, because we're going to get more Pride in more episodes now. It's going to be hideous.
Pride's name could be a slur. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. I love that.
Ram and Ebony's wedding takes place in reality space, with Ram quickly taking control of Ebony's choice of attire and the wedding vows.
Now you, Ebony. I, Ebony.
Forsaking all others.
Forsaking all others.
Good.
Take you, Ram, as my lawful husband.
Jay watches on, crushed. Yeah, what did you make of the ceremony?
Okay, so I want to say I absolutely love Ebony's dress, the one that the technos make for her in cyberspace. I absolutely really like it. And the thing I like the most about it is, taking away that the colour is not something Ebony would ever choose, accidentally, the silhouette is, Because it's very close to the sort of black-grey number that she marries Zoot in, which I think is really interesting with the corset and the layering. It just, it's gorgeous. I love it. It's my second favourite wedding dress after Celine. So, yeah, there you go. Love the wedding attire. I also like what Java and Siva are wearing. And it made me wonder, you know, did they have a lavish wedding like this? I'm not sure, because I don't think the technology was there. But it does make you wonder what their wedding to Ram was like, because I'm guessing they had like a thruple wedding at that point, just the three of them getting married together. Yeah, I love the dress and the makeup. Meryl looked incredible.
Yeah, I really liked her dress. I thought that was definitely top three favorite wedding dresses in tribe history. And it looked amazing on her. I love the symbolism of the fact that she already, he's exerting his control and overriding her wishes.
Yeah.
She purposely didn't bother to even think about wearing special attire when she went in there, which also speaks to how little this means to her. You know, she is not invested in him. She didn't think, oh, you know, I can wear whatever I want in there. Well, then I'll put this. She never even picked out a dress. I think that says a lot about her headspace. And then, you know, her reaction to him forcing her into something that he'd like her to wear. He already went out of his way to design something for her and never even asked her opinion on it. He had one on lock, snapped his fingers, and she was in it. That's interesting right there. That tells you. That's your first red flag of what the dynamics of this relationship is going to be, regardless of any agreement that you made going in. He doesn't care. He designed you a wedding dress and didn't even show it to you and ask you if you liked it, because he does not care what you actually want. And so I liked that. I liked, for once, I actually liked how absolutely absurd and melodramatic the music and the background was.
Yeah.
Because this whole thing is so absurd and ridiculous that it was fitting. You know, I didn't give a crap about Jay looking sad, because I don't think it's because, oh, the woman he loves is marrying someone else. I think it's because she chose somebody over him and he's not happy about that. You know, he is butthurt about that. Not losing her, it was that she chose something other than him. And that's what he's mourning. He's not mourning her, you know. And you know, it's depressing that the whole reason she's doing this is just to get back at him. And it didn't give her the satisfaction she hoped it would, you know. She should have figured that out when she first agreed to marry Ram and she got that sinking pit feeling in her stomach. That none of this is going to make her feel better about her heart being broken over Jay. And instead, she's like, I'm going to continue self-destructive cruise missile.
She's also lost her power as well, because you make that great point about Ram essentially putting her what he wanted to wear. And it's a giant red flag. And she's lost her power now, because while he was chasing her, she had her own race to run, essentially, and she could get more than Java and Siva. But the way Ram just dismisses Siva to somebody like Ebony, that's going to be an alarm, because, yeah, it's all great now. She's the top wife. She thinks she is. But what does that actually mean? Does that mean anything at all? Because when he wanted to, he just turned her into a dress-up doll. Can I also mention the kiss? Which I thought was quite interesting, because the first time and I know this was to let us know that Ram is a germphobe, when we first meet him in episode one, where he is having the threesome with Java and Siva, and he doesn't want to kiss, I think it's Java, or they're kissing, he doesn't like it. I thought it was interesting that Java says, you can't, and then he kisses Ebony. And I thought you could interpret that in many different ways. So if you wanted to go down the sort of season 5 headcanon, then the you can't from Java is that you can't be doing this, because you wouldn't do this with me. So why are you doing this with her? But then there's also you can't because you never do this. You don't even do this with us because of the germs. And I just thought you could interpret it in a lot of different ways. And it was just, yeah, the kiss was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it really, you know, shows everybody their place really quick. And everyone's having a reaction to him. He's just peeing on everybody, basically. That's all Ram is doing. This whole episode is him just gleefully peeing out like a sprinkler so that everybody knows he's marking his territory on everything around him. And he's so happy. He's responding like a puppy when you come in and he's super excited because you were gone for 5 minutes and he thought that was an eternity. That's everything he's doing is letting everybody know I own it all. It's all mine. And he is having the time of his life seeing the reactions that everybody is having. He loves seeing Java and Siva just despairing over this and letting them know, yes, I'm going to give your sister special treatment over you because she is a prize that it was hard fought for. And just remind you, you know, and even his first wife, he makes sure she knows her place. I can make you into whatever I want. Screw the agreement we had. And I got your girl. Like, he's just, this is a celebration lap for Ram, this whole episode, really.
Well, when you say that, it's actually interesting because then it's for his writing, it's in direct opposition to where we saw him in the last episode, where he was blindsided by things. He was surprised by Ebony accepting his proposal. He was surprised by Celine being as prepared and as dominant as she actually was coming into the space. So that's really interesting in terms of the writing, because as you say, in this episode, no, it's all on his terms.
Yep, he recovered very quickly.
Things are so bad with Ebony and all. I can't stand another minute of it.
Well, that's great.
I don't want to be a techno anymore.
Honey, you can be whatever you want to be.
Disgusted by Ram and Ebony, Siva flees to the Love Shack, pouring her heart out to Lex that she wants to abandon the technos. Just briefly, what did you make of Siva's sudden declaration here?
Can I ask you guys a quick question?
No, witches. Never no allowed ever to ask us. You're so polite. I love it. Like, this is all about discussion. And Tams is like, may I?
May I ask you a question? So my question is, do we think that Dee told Siva about Lex?
I do.
You do? Yeah, so do I. What do you think, Lance?
Yeah, I don't see really any reason or hint that she hadn't. Obviously, Steve was just preoccupied by the wedding. So, yeah, I don't see that she hadn't.
It's interesting because it felt like that was the scene that we needed. Because I understand why she left the way she did. Because we know that Java and Siva, their biggest fear has come true. Ebony is now a co-wife. And not only is she a co-wife, she's already pushed Siva out of the nest with the neck massage. So Siva's no longer something that's that required, because we know that Java's better at the tech, or appears to be better at the technical stuff than Siva is. And Siva was more there to give like neck rubs and be the nice one. And you got the feeling that Ram was maybe more attracted to Siva than he was to Java. And to compensate, Java's gotten really good at the tech stuff. So you can see why she left the way she did, because she has, not only has he said, no, I don't want you, but I want Ebony instead of you. This is the culmination of everything they've been afraid of happening. So she's gone. And she hasn't really had anywhere else to go but to Lex. But I just feel like it would have been interesting if we had had a scene where we'd actually seen Dee tell Siva that Lex was waiting for her and then her not turn up. I don't know why. I just feel like that would have been more interesting.
I think it would help with, because what I feel like the scene is showing us about Siva is what, you know, we've all suspected. And what she herself has said, she only joined and agreed to all of this because she was scared and wanted security, you know. And even though she's scared of Ram, at least she has a security that he wants her, you know. So he will prioritize her in some form above at least the rest of the world. And that's why she's put up with everything, because where else would I go? Who else would protect me? Then she latches on to Lex. But she wasn't like willing to run away with Lex. She wasn't willing to leave Ram when she met Lex. It's only in this moment when it's confirmed for her that what little importance that she might have with Ram, how easily it's discarded, that she can't take it. Because she already didn't want to be with this guy. She's not attracted to him. She's terrified of him. And this was the last string she had, and he just severed it in front of her like this. It's just like, you know what? I'm getting out of here. You know, I have nothing. I have no insurance that I will be safe if I stay here. And that was the only reason I was here. So I'm gone. See ya. And I do think your suggestion of having a scene where Dee goes and Siva makes a decision that right now isn't a good time to go see Lex, and she chooses not to because she's not trying to jeopardize what she's got going. And the only thing that makes her run to Lex is realizing what I have going has already been jeopardized. Lex is my last chance, my last hope. So I gotta go. And it's an interesting thing to learn about her. You know, nothing the Technos did bothered her. But being supplanted and losing her security, that's why she wants to leave. She doesn't leave the Technos because they're bad, because they're evil, because they do terrible things to people. Nope. She leaves them because she's no longer guaranteed to be safe with them.
Mm. But I think we've seen that play out through a number of different characters, haven't we? I mean, that essentially happened with Celine and the Chosen. So it's interesting that that's also the motivation that Siva had. And it's a human motivation.
Yeah.
In a situation like this, to just have someone take care of you and look after you, and you have to do minimal, and you have to not think about what's going on. You can understand why somebody like Siva as well, and like Celine, who have always been, so Siva, as we have seen, is that middle sibling. She's always been in the middle. She's Switzerland. But she seems a lot less defined than Jarvan, Ebony as well. So it makes sense that she would be easier to sway, if that makes sense. I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
She's just very, self-interested, self-motivated, and really, really self-motivated. Like,
yeah,
that's the only thing that really matters to Siva is, am I going to be okay? She grows. She will grow. She will start to actually think about the consequences of the choices she's made, the people who've been affected by them. Once she's living among the Verts and is reminded that everybody's a human being, and starts taking accountability, because that's her journey, but at this moment, it's just because she's no longer guaranteed the safety. That was the only reason she was staying with Ram. And it's also probably triggering because, as the girls have said, their sister ousted them out of the Locos. She's been down this road before, and she's not going to stick around for it to happen again, because they had they said that Ebony turned Zoot against them. I can't remember if there was a great deal of detail of what that was going to entail, him turning against them, but it was enough that they had to basically run for their lives. And she knows that Ram's even more sadistic. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's only a matter of time before Ebony turns him against us. I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm not sticking around to go through this again.
No, I agree. And it speaks to their connection, which is, it's no connection really at all. He has cheated on her, and she has come to him as essentially kind of a last resort, hasn't she? She's got nowhere else to go. And finally, she does have somewhere else to go that isn't sort of contaminated by Java or Ebony. This is her own space that she's making for herself.
This isn't even her own space. I mean, Siva doesn't really finally make her own space until season 5. That's what makes her.
Yeah, that's true.
All the new characters we get in seasons 4 and 5, hers is the most compelling, because we actually get to watch the emotional change because of what she's been through and what she's experiencing. Because even here, she's just following the same pattern. She is running to another abusive, dysfunctional relationship for safety.
Yeah.
know, and she, because she's still scared. It's only when Siva says, you know what, I am not afraid of any of you people anymore, and I'd rather do this on my own. And as she says in season 5 to her sister, I'd rather sweep floors and make my own way. I'm not scared of having to do this anymore. You know, yeah. Where before that's what that governed her whole life until season 5, you know, and it, like, she finally broke the cycle and said, I will not put up with this behavior. I will not let people treat me this way anymore. And I'm going to do it myself. But she's not breaking it yet. She's just doing the exact same thing she's always done. Run to another person who treats her like garbage for safety.
Yeah. And it's such a shame. What happens to her is just a crying shame. Because actually,
yeah,
that's where we should have left her, with this positive storyline. We've seen her go through these trials and tribulations. We leave her in liberty, and she is ready to make her own way on her own for the first time ever.
Yeah, what they did to Siva was a crying shame.
Yeah.
And it reminds me so much of Moon from season 3, you know. It's like, what is the message you are trying to tell young viewers? You know, like Moon, she can't get Bray to rescue her. She's just going to stay with Pony Joe, and that toxic, you know, like, oh, okay. That's a great message to tell young people. And then Siva, the one who actually got away, is killed. Like, what are you trying to, like, what is the message here?
Why don't you show me some more reality space world? That's fun.
I'd rather have fun with you in the real world.
Oh.
I mean, too much reality space can do your head in. It's not good for you.
Chloe is eager to get back into reality space, but Ved wants to spend time with her in real life and warns her that too much reality space can mess with your head. So yeah, what did you make of that scene between the two?
Oh, Ved, when showing off bites you in the ass. Think about it. He showed her reality space because he was trying to impress her, only to discover she prefers it to his company. Couldn't have happened to honestly. A better guy.
Honestly, yeah, honestly. But then, again, I've got to be honest, I know the Chloe Ved shippers have had a tough time with us in this season so far. But the thing is, like, it could not be more apparent that her interest in him now is only him being able to provide her with a headset, you know. He could get her the latest downloads, and that's why she's there. And she even rolls her eyes at the thought of them spending time together outside of reality space, and it's like, oh my god.
He's but like you say, she's like, oh yeah, I guess we could do that.
But it could not happen to a nicer person than Ved. He deserves this.
It's actually not bad when you consider that they use reality space as their metaphor for addiction to all kinds of things. And this is, you know, grounded in some real life. You know, there are people who either introduce somebody to a drug or alcohol or something, some sort of substance, because they're trying to show off, because they're trying to impress them, only to turn that person into an addict and lose the very thing they were trying to keep. You know, they lose that person, and because of addiction. And so I actually like that. I like that that metaphor actually works here. You know, Ved was so busy trying to keep Chloe's attention that he ends up turning her into somebody who isn't really interested in him any longer. She just wants the thing he can provide her. And it's funny, obviously, but, you know, also quite thought-provoking in its own way.
That brings us to our final thoughts of the episode. Pride comes across a city kid being beaten up for speaking out about the technos and steps in, only to be captured and taken to them. About to be publicly humiliated, Ram takes on the case personally and counters Pride's arguments about the evils of technology with a demonstration of nature made perfect through reality space.
Temper, temper. I also heard that you think I want to make everybody slaves.
You want to make everybody slaves to technology? Just like they were before the virus.
Yeah, yeah. The problem is, your real world is full of nasty bugs.
What, and your virtual world isn't?
No. My virtual world is going to be perfect.
So yeah, what did you make of Ram's understanding of Pride and Pride's reaction to this taste of virtual reality?
I felt like we were missing a scene. Or maybe this was just edited weird. Okay, so Celine sees him in the stocks and realizes he's been captured. And she's like, oh my gosh, no, can't be, whatever. And then we flip to Chloe in bed watching the same thing, only for it to be announced that his sentence has been suspended because Ram's going to do something else to him. Okay. When you see watch that scene with Chloe in bed, it gives you the assumption that Celine was able to argue Pride's case. But when we get back to Celine talking to Jay, it highly implies that she had nothing to do with Ram's sudden decision to personalize his abuse of Pride. And I just wish we'd seen that scene, like what made Ram change his mind about Pride being publicly humiliated and making it a private thing. You know, if it wasn't Celine, then what was it that convinced him? And it showed, for me, it just felt a little choppy, like how we got there, what made him do that, because that's a big jump to you know, because what would be the reason he would personally punish Pride in this moment? Like, what would make him suddenly go, you know what, never mind, I don't want to, like, get him out of the stocks, you know? And I just think we're missing that. I would have liked to have seen what made him change his mind. And I also think Pride's reaction to Reality Space is less, I think they wanted to go for eerie or unsettling, and that's could have used a few more takes. That's all I can say. I'm not crazy about the acting choice for his reaction.
I agree with you, Liz, though. When I first saw it, I thought, oh, well, Celine's bargained for Pride then. She said something and Ram has tried to show that he's benevolent and has said, I'll deal with it in a private way. And then, but I agree with you, there is a missing scene there. It did feel very stark because it went from one thing and then straight away. And you wondered what Celine's reaction was to this, about him suddenly being in the stocks and then the change of the mind and then potentially him essentially just disappearing. We needed to kind of see that as well. And we kind of saw Celine asking Jay if he could help. But I don't know. Yeah, it did very much feel like we needed a reaction from Ram and a reaction from Celine. And also, why did Ram decide to do it like this? Why didn't he just punish him in the stocks? Why did he change his mind?
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't understand the motivations for any of this. I don't understand why Ram personally decided to take Pride out of it. I don't understand why he put Pride, wanted to show Pride the how great technology is. I don't get any of this. Like, why would Ram care? There was definitely some scenes missing because it doesn't make no sense.
Because it's not even like they have enough of a connection for Ram to want to prove that Pride is wrong in his outlook. No. You know, like, he wants to teach him a lesson and see him come apart at the seams. It's not even like that. So, yeah, it's kind of baffling as to why we jumped into this so quickly. I mean, maybe
especially when he already has the history of seeing Pride get electric. He chose to electrocute Pride and Jay on the fence outside of the power station. You know what I mean? Like, there should be a bit of an animosity for Pride. So why would he choose, you know what, instead of watching you be publicly flogged in the streets, I'm going to win you over. You know, and especially because when he's doing it with a nefarious air. Like, he knows that showing Pride this is going to cause some sort of damage to Pride. You know, he's not behaving like someone who's like, I'm tired of dealing with you, I'm going to win you over so you'll just stop being a thorn in my side. He's doing it in a way of like, ha ha ha, you know, it's someone a bad hit of something because you want to get rid of him. That's how he's behaving. So it almost implies that he knows he's going to cause a bad addiction. You know, it's just, we're missing something. We are missing something here. I would have even taken, a quick scene with Celine being like, oh, please don't, da, 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 da. And him being like, you know what? You caught me in a good mood. I just got married. I have a better idea for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's what we needed.
Then I could be like, all right, fine. He just wants to play with pride because he's in a great mood today. He got what he wanted today. He peed on everybody, put everyone in their place. And he's just, but. Otherwise, it just feels like something is very missing here. And
it's interesting, though, that you say win him over, because I read it as he is going to destroy him. He's going to rub his face, Pride's face, in everything that he held dear. And Ram is going to say, essentially, with a flick of a switch, everybody is buyable. I can buy everybody with reality space, with this perfect version of the world that I've created. Even nature cannot stand in my way. That's kind of how I viewed it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The way it plays is Ram comes across as very nefarious.
Yeah.
Like he knows he's going to do some sort of damage to Pride through what they're going to do, which is just, we need some explanation of how we got here, something's missing here. It feels disjointed. And again, I don't really care for Nick's acting choice of how he reacts to reality space.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's off. It's strange. Again, I think they were going for unsettling. And
I mean, Pride's reaction was just over the top. Like, I don't get what they was trying to convey, that he'd never experienced a computer game in his life, that the adrenaline was being pumped so high into him. I don't get it. I don't get what they're going for. And now he's obviously suddenly going to be addicted to this.
Because even Chloe didn't go this hard, this fast into it.
No.
And I mean, she is displaying what you would say addiction behaviours. And even she didn't go this fast, because she's done other things since. Like, she sat in the cafe. We've seen her. She's engaged in conversations outside of thinking about reality space. But he was just right there. This is it now.
We don't ever learn, do we? Like, we don't learn that Ram, turned the dial up to 11 or anything, did we? Like, we don't learn anything about what he actually does here to push Pride this far over the end this quickly.
And that would have been really useful if that's what he was going for, because he hints at the fact that he's going to basically ruin reality for Pride. He's going to prove to him that what I can create is better than any reality, any nature you'll ever experience. So that's why I said it comes across as nefarious. Like, he is going out of his way to ruin Pride, because, Chloe has experienced this. And yes, she's clearly jonesing for it, but she's still able to function in life, for waiting for her next hit. Pride comes out of this fried completely. You know what I mean? There's just no going back for him. And it would work if we knew that was purposeful. That's what Ram was going for,
Yeah.
That they have the ability to do that.
Yeah. I'd also say it also shines a light on the lack of backstories that we get for the characters. Because something we were talking about before the episode started was the fact that it would be interesting to know if Pride had always lived off-grid, if he had been instilled from a young age in the reality of technology being evil, and essentially his parents were maybe preppers and they'd always kind of been waiting for the end of the world. And so this is the first game he's ever played, and this is why it's had such an effect on him in a detrimental way, that maybe, you can imagine that Chloe was young enough that maybe she did play a game, that she did have some awareness of technology and things like that. So, but again, without backstories for these characters, which sometimes we desperately need to know where they've come from to understand why their ideologies are the way they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, they just leave it at, it's rarely random. When they want a character to react over the top to being exposed to the game or paradise, they do. And if they want people to be able to experience it, but also have no problem walking away from it, or just keeping it out of their lives, they'll do. But there's no rhyme or reason to why certain characters react to it a certain way.
Yeah. That's the bigger issue. Yeah.
which makes their whole addiction metaphor kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
Because the characters who don't want anything to do with it, they don't have to fight the addiction to stay away from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, again, it's very clear they wanted this to be the metaphor for addiction, for substances and things like that, that they couldn't put into the show because of censorship and all that stuff. But your metaphor falls apart because people can take it or leave it based on the writing.
Yeah.
It almost implies the smart ones don't get addicted. You know what I mean? It's like, that's not how addiction works.
No, but you're right. There's definitely the implication with that.
And yeah, just going back to your like, backstory comment, like maybe Pride has an addictive personality that we don't know about when he was younger. Yeah. Like we just don't know. We don't get this. It would be nice to develop something so we can understand why he drops so fast and hard into this world. But nope, it's just...
Yeah, because that is a reality. People do have addictive personalities. Yeah, that is a trait.
Oh, yeah. He just goes, wee, and he's addicted.
Wow.
Poor, he's like scratching. He's like making some really obscene suggestions of what he would do if you just give him another dose of the game. Like, okay, he became an immediate crackhead, and it's just like, why him though?
Yeah, this is his brat summer. He's having a Charlie XCX.
I can't remember the back half. Like, how long is this going to last for? Is it going to be? Is this him Pride now?
Oh no, this is the storyline for a while.
It's going to until it's like up until he nearly kills Jay. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to steal from Celine. Him and May are going to be sneaking off. You know, they're going to be... I mean, even Mouse and Charlie aren't that addicted. Like, they can still function. They go to work. They do their jobs. They can earn their credits and play the game. But no, May and Pride are like... Arr, arr, arr. They go nearly feral and horrible. They treat everyone terribly. Like, it's crazy. And it's just like, but why just them? Why is it...
It's interesting you should say that, because I always thought that May was maybe a little bit less addicted, but addicted to spending time with Pride. And this was something they were doing together, you know? And there's always an element of that.
Definitely gave off of, she enjoyed enabling him because it hurt Celine, you know?
Yeah.
because she was just like, oh, a man, you know? And it's like, was he though?
Was he? She looked, he was in her bed, so, you know.
Right, exactly. But,
like, true.
Yay. Come on. But, yeah, you do get the sense that she just enjoys this because it causes Celine pain, you know. And it's the only way that Pride prefers to be with May is if he's doing this. And so she's gung-ho for it.
Yeah. And it's those kind of friendships where you've got... that those sort of toxic friendships where your friends don't want the best for you because they don't want to achieve the best for themselves, maybe. So everybody's kept in a holding pattern, and you get those addictive relationships as well, don't you? You know, and yeah, that's kind of, I'd say, May in season 4 with Pride, but we might find out it's completely different. We might have seen this a completely different way, because that's what we've been finding out, haven't we?
Yeah. 100%. I've been keeping my mind open because I just keep getting surprised.
It's fun, really. As hard as these episodes are, our chat about them is actually fun.
I will say that as much as this has been a task, and I'm not going to come out of this being like, having a whole new opinion about season 4. What I have liked is I didn't want to come out of it having not gained any new insights, because I don't find that fun. Because even with the seasons I know by heart, I still came out of them with new insights about them and characters, because I just hadn't bothered to think about those things. And then I hear someone else's opinion on something and I'm like, huh, I never actually looked at it that way. You know, so I am glad. And I do. That is one thing that's enjoyable, is talking to you guys and coming out of season 4 with these new insights.
Yeah, I agree.
100%. Yep.
Hope the listeners enjoy it as well. And like, no offense to the Pride fans or the Chloe Ved fans. Or the Ebony J fans. Or the Lex and Siva fans. Or the Celine and Bry fans.
Let's just say, no offense to the fans of season 4.
No, that's true. Comes with it.
No offense to any of you fans of season 4.
It's not personal.
The shipping ain't good in season 4, is it?
They're just like watching us take a dump on everything they love. Like, appreciate you coming back for more.
It might get better.
It might get better. They're living for every moment. We're like, you know what? That wasn't so bad. They're like, thank God.
We're going to come out of season 4 going, Patch and Dee were the best couple.
We're
going to say it. We're going to say it. By the end, we'll be like, yep.
I'll say it now.
See?
They're the best.
Don't
say it yet.
I don't see anyone taking their trophy.
Exactly. I can't see it.
I'm just saying, be careful. Something we've learned is, you know, we all came in with assumptions, and those assumptions were burned down. So be careful about this pedestal we place them on now.
I'm willing to die on this hill that no matter how bad Dee and Patch might get, that I might discover how bad Dee and Patch actually are, no one's going to top them.
They're still
going to win the trophy of season 4.
Because there are no other couples. There are no other functioning couples in this. Everybody else is the train on fire, surrounded by rubbish. Nothing is working. But still, you know, there are depths that we could dig into, aren't there? There are places we could go that they might go that could be truly horrific.
They could also turn out to be garbage, okay? They could turn out to just be awful, but I still think they'll be better than everybody else.
And if you had to win a prize, being better than everybody else, when the bar is literally in hell, on fire, you know, it's better than nothing.
Right.
Honestly, they kind of win by default because they were the smartest ones and left.
Yeah, I was going to say, just about to say that, yeah.
They found their happiness and bailed on this place. And it's like, you can't win better than that.
Do we think that's where Charlie really went? He just left. He didn't disappear. He disappeared himself.
We barely knew you.
Oh, no. If it wasn't for Mouse, I would have said yeah, but he wouldn't have left his sister.
Maybe he tried to get her to come and she was like, nah, I like it here. She wants to be a bridesmaid.
He was easily replaceable. After all those years of taking care of his little sister, she replaced him with Sammy.
I also think we need to start a new episode where we have a counter, maybe. Where it's, what is Lex doing in this episode? Is he doing anything? I'd say no. Didn't get anything again to do this week. He slept on a bed. He talked to Dee very confusingly through a fence, so it looked like he was in prison. And they're continuing with the Dee's got feelings for Lex, which, no, she doesn't. They're just friends. She doesn't view him that way. And that's the hill I'll die on. I don't want this reality. I don't want another cool chick to get hung up on him in this way where he only views them as a friend. Lex doesn't view women as friends. They're all opportunity to him. That is something we have learned since we first met him. He will pull the moves on any woman who has pulse, right? If she's alive and is in one piece and it can speak, well, even then, she doesn't need to be able to speak, right? He's going to run up that drain pipe like a rat.
Well, to be fair, he has to be attracted to them first.
He's attracted to every woman.
But he wasn't attracted to Alice that way.
Was he not? No, he never did. I don't believe that. Because look,
no, he wasn't attracted to her that way.
He just wasn't.
He never saw her that way. And that's probably why she got so much respect out of him. He did like her as a friend. Dee, he's not attracted to her. He's never made a move, you know? If he's attracted, absolutely, they can be comatose and he's making a move. But if he's not attracted, It actually leaves room for something else to be built there, you know?
That's interesting. Yeah. Because I've never thought he had those sorts of... Like, you're giving him much more, I'd say, humanity, discernment, than I've ever given him. Because I just assumed every single woman was fair game.
Nope. If he's not attracted, he's not making a play. He wasn't attracted to Trudy in season one. At all. He was nothing but cruel to her.
Yeah.
Season two, she got a glow up and he was like, hey girl, hey.
Was it not the baby that turned him off though? Because he didn't want to be a dad. He didn't want to be a dad to anybody.
Everything about Trudy turned him off.
Just, yeah. to be honest, Sabine's not here, so we can say, yeah, same. A little bit. Yeah.
But that's, she got her chosen makeover and he was like, oh, I didn't know you were hot under all that motherhood.
Right. So,
She was like, oh, you wish.
Give me some more of that fried rat. Yes.
You know, because yeah,
even if he knew it was rat.
If he finds any semblance of physical attraction, he's making a play for it. Even Amber, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, he's always had a thing for her.
Back in season one, he was just like, yeah. You know, we could have something. You know, you're not bad on the eyes. She was like, boy, get out of here. But otherwise, if he's not attracted, he's not making a play for him. It doesn't even cross his mind. And he panics if he finds out they like him. Like, whoa, what, wait, what? You know, who? No, you know. He's not that discerning, obviously. Like, when he's attracted, his branch of what he's attracted to is very wide, which must be hurtful to the woman he's not attracted to. I mean, if you're Alice or Dee and you know this guy wants everyone, you're like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why don't I make the cut? You know what I mean?
I love how engaged I am now that we're talking about somebody else other than
Right, exactly. start messing around with other stuff. It's like, I got plenty to say here.
This is actually good. All right, that brings series 4 episode 33 to a close. Thank you very much to the panel, and you can show your support by clicking on that like and subscribe and following us on all the major platforms. You can also leave us a comment or get in touch if you'd like to take part in a future episode of the podcast yourself. Just search for The Tribe.UK or Conversations on Eagle Mountain. You can also throw us a donation. Just head on over to buymeacoffee.com/thetribe.co.uk. And we'll see you next time for episode 34. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Bye.